My next guest, though, is on the line. He is Rabbi Cooper of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and we're going to be talking about regional stability and the Trump peace plan. Rabbi Cooper, thanks for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you. Chag Sameach. To be in Jerusalem, so I'm a lucky man right now.
So you are in Jerusalem this afternoon. Give us a sense from your perspective. What's it like being in Israel today?
Israel's a very complex and wonderful place. You had earlier today Birkat Kohanim, the priestly blessing, with tens of thousands of people at the Western Wall. Tremendous joy that hopefully as many as 20 hostages will soon be reunited with their families. A lot of tears, little 28 mostly soldiers, but others who were killed either on October 7th or died in captivity. We're not quite sure how many of those individuals have yet been found. A lot of question marks as you and I speak. Israeli military has begun a pullback from some of the front lines in Gaza. And until the rest of the 21-point plan from President Trump is worked out, in the immediate short run, that means that Hamas can actually move in to fill that gap, because right now there is no other force. And again, even as we speak, there are attempts by terrorists to come out of hiding and kill as many Israeli soldiers as possible. So it's a tremendously mixed bag. First and foremost, the tears of joy that you see coming from the families of the hostages who find it almost impossible that finally they're going to be reunited with their loved ones, but tempered with the fact that those who perished on October 7th and those who've been killed or died in captivity since, we're not sure yet if all of them will come to what we say, Kever Yisrael, will be soon buried, reunited with their families for a proper burial in the Holy Land. A lot of question marks, a lot of tears, some relief. And I think also, you know, I'm a U.S. citizen. I live in California. Whatever you mention Donald Trump's name in the United States, you're going to get an emotional reaction either from the progressive left or from the right. Unfortunately, American politics have been completely weaponized. And I think we see and feel a lot of the results, especially in the domestic setting, where you see that uncertainty of what's going to come from President Donald Trump. Uncertainty doesn't, I think, play very well in domestic life. However, as someone who had a little bit to do with places like Bahrain and UAE in the years leading up to the Abraham Accords, and as also a rabbi who a few months ago already was in Damascus and met with the new president of Syria in the palace, all of those things came about because Donald Trump is someone in the international scene who you can never predict what he is going to say or what he is going to do. And whatever has been achieved now with the 48, when you think back just, 10 days ago, Macron, Starmer, Albanese, the banker who's now the Prime Minister of Canada, all throwing their Jews under the bus and essentially pretty much almost guaranteed a death sentence for all the 48 hostages, having apparently given this great victory to Hamas. Along comes Donald Trump, and in one public announcement says, oh, by the way, I have the backing of all the Arab leaders, I have the backing of Erdogan, And we have a deal, and we're going to do that deal.
That is the part that I keep replaying over and over in my head and not understanding. I mean, Turkey has been vociferously against Israel since the Mavi Mara, really, since that the flotilla, their boat, was commandeered by the Israeli
So,
soldiers. What on earth, Rabbi, made them get so involved and almost hand Netanyahu a victory on a plate? Because this is everything that Netanyahu could have wished for, in fact, asked for, well over a year ago.
well, if you want to talk about Erdogan and Turkey, I think that there are two pieces to it potentially. Number one, like many other leaders, they don't want to be left out. They see a shuffling of the cards, and they consider themselves to be not just a regional player. Erdogan sees himself as a world leader. The idea that he would somehow be on the outside looking in was something that he didn't want to happen. And I think that that is really what, in part, what Witkoff and the president and Rubio and the rest played on, not just in terms of the Turkish leader. But the other piece of this, with respect to all of us, is yes, we can't wait for the living and the dead to be returned. But there's a price to pay. And that price is that,
The
you know,
release of the
people like
murderers.
Erdogan
Yeah.
becomes a legitimate player. Turkey,
Interesting.
we know, of course, Qatar could be the location where some of the 250 of the worst terrorist criminals will be. The cabinet, I'm looking down at my phone because the cabinet just voted to approve that. These are mass murderers. And they have been give, will have been given a lifeline to go and perhaps regroup in places like Turkey or Qatar. We don't know for sure. It's not an automatic thing, but this there's a price, a steep price that Israel has paid. And when you say, well, wait a second, Erdogan, he hates Israel. He's been playing that card, and all of a sudden he's in there. Even the military leader of Pakistan, everyone is jumping into it. I think that is part of Donald Trump's magic. When it comes to foreign policy, you don't want to be left out. He has a track record from when he was the 45th president that he was able to come up with the Abraham Accords when every quote unquote expert in the world said it ain't going to happen. And you know, knowing a little bit more about the Syria situation, every single piece of advice that that president got about Syria with the new president, who's a former terrorist, from all of his diplomats, all of his colleagues, all of the leaders in the West was do not remove the sanctions. And about 3 days after Reverend Johnny Moore and I met with the Syrian foreign minister in New York, sure enough, president of the United States announces he's taking off sanctions from Syria and just changes the entire ball game. And it's something to watch. And I think also he has a very good team of people around him that bring different skill sets. And I'd like to think, as a Jew and a rabbi, that maybe the Psalms that Jews in South Africa and Los Angeles and Israel and every other place in between have been chanting 2 or 3 times a day for the last 2 years, 734 days, has a little bit to do with it. So this is not just a matter of luck. And I know, just as in the States, when you mention Trump's name, if you have three people, they'll be at each other's throats. When you mention Prime Minister Netanyahu to Israelis and to Jews around the world, also a lightning rod, you know, one way or the other. But you have to, at this point, give credit that he was able to work with President Trump, and at least phase one, please God, it should come to fruition in the next 48 hours. If they pull this off, it's quite dramatic. Right now, we expect a very quick trip possibly from the President of the United States to come in. My guess is either he's going to go to the Knesset, or maybe more likely spend some time in the hospital with the people whose lives he saved. We again, who knows? But here we are talking about him, and you see also, and I felt this very strongly when he spoke, even before, even if he would have failed here, and I hope that he doesn't, he would had already set the stage for Abraham Accords Chapter
Exactly.
2.
100% agree with you. 100% agree with you. Rabbi, we are out of time. So much more I wanted to ask you, but we'll have to chat again. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Okay, God bless, and nice to hear your show. Interesting.